Welcome, everyone. It's time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we're excited to be here with you today. I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, live here in the studio. And we are excited about this show today, Pastor Jim. We're ready. We're fired up.
We certainly are. Well, and we got that way from doing our nursing home.
That's right.
Service today. It was first Sunday of the month. We're always at Palm Garden up in Palm Harbor.
Right.
Clearwater. And I tell you, I get blessed every time we go.
Oh, I do too. Even though my throat is a little froggy today because we were, I don't know why. Maybe it's just the weather, but hitting some of those notes today. And you're great. You just really come in there. We just sing old Sunday school songs and old hymns, don't we? Things that this age group knows and remembers. Mm-hmm. And it always blesses me, Pastor Jim, that so many of them can sing. Some of them sing these songs and they can't carry on a conversation.
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing? We have two or three of those in the room every time that cannot answer a question that you ask them. Can't talk, really. But yet they can sing all these songs.
Yeah. I get ministered to when we go up there as much as I minister to
absolutely
the people in the nursing home. I feel like I'm getting ministered to at the same time. You know, I look at them singing and it's just like I get all teary and choked up and
I know. It does that to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And they're grinning and they remember the songs. And, you know, we have purposely for the last 5 years of nursing home ministry been trying to sing some of the same things, the things that people know. And of course, Jesus Loves Me and just some of the old standards. And it's amazing how good they all do with all that and participate and clap and raise their hands as much as they can. And it's just a blessing. So that's where we have just come from. And we'd love to hear from you during the show. And we've been doing this more and more using our new Google text number. I'm going to give it to you right now. And you can text in any questions or comments while we are doing this show live today. If you listen to this at a later time on Starcom Media Network, which a lot of people do because we are now on that network scattered across many cities in the United States and in different countries, then you can still text. It just won't be live during the show, but you can still text at any time, 24/7, 365. And it comes directly to my phone. And the number is 727-888-4171. One more time, 727-888-4171. Use that any time. We'd love to hear from you. Pastor Jim, it blesses my heart to see more and more Google texts and emails coming in from people scattered in different places. They're using our email address, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Can you tell our audience why they're using that prayer, that email address, prayers@bohmglobal?
Yeah, because that is our prayer ministry email. And if you have a prayer request, please feel free to send it to that address, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Betty or I, Betty's also on the radio team, she and I kind of head that up. We'll take the prayer request, send it out to our prayer team, and believe for an answer.
Absolutely.
And in fact, we're big on believing for answers. We've seen that happen.
Amen. Over and over again.
Over and over. So when your prayer gets answered.
When? I heard you say when, not if, when, right?
Not if. Please let us know.
Yes.
Please send us another email to that same address.
Right.
Just let us know how God answered that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do keep track of those.
Yeah, and it's such a blessing, isn't it, PJ, to know that when we put those requests before the throne of God, that he hears and he answers and he cares about every detail of all of these different people's lives. And some of you, there's been so many that have come in the last few days from people we don't know. And I just want to remind you that God knows you. We may not know who you are, but God certainly does know you. And he cares about your needs, and he cares about what's going on in your life. And we're just a conduit. We're just a way to get that prayer request out to so many listeners. If you want to be on the prayer team, Pastor Jim, it's easy, isn't it, for them to become a member of the prayer team?
Absolutely. Just, again, that same address, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Just let us know you want to be a member of the prayer team. All we ask is that you pray believing.
Right.
Along with us, because what Betty and I do is send out, you know, we send out the request and we come up with a prayer for everybody to be praying. So we're kind of all on the same page.
You write it basically, yeah. Based on scripture.
Based on scripture. And then we send it out and everybody prays and we get to see the answers.
Oh, yeah. It's just amazing. So use that email address. We're going to give it to you one more time and probably we'll give it to you other times during the show. So get a pen and write this down. Prayers@BOHM, which stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So prayers@BOHMglobal.com, okay? And we want you to use that. And during the show, you might have some questions that come to you that you want to text us at 727-888-4171, or you can send Pastor Jim, our resident scholar here, an email directly to him. Or to me, my address is pastor@bohmglobal.com. His is pastorjim@bohmglobal.com because I had mine first before he came along. How about that? But you know, PJ, we've been in ministry together now since about 2008. Is that right?
It has been, I think in 2 weeks, it'll be 7 years.
7 years. Okay. What a joy. What a joy. And I knew the first day I met you that you came to a service that we were on the same page and that we have proved to be just united in ministry and now working together for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that says a lot. This radio show is in our 9th year, and that says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what number of show is this one? 400 and something.
Well, how many weeks has it been since I hosted?
I'm not sure.
Because that was 434.
Okay. So we're
approaching 440 at the very least.
Okay. And you say, wow, where's all those shows? Those shows are on our website, a lot of them, probably at least 350 of them are mm-hmm. on our website, which is www.bohmglobal.com. Go there to radio broadcasts, and at the end of each month, our webmaster takes all the shows from that month and from our other show, which we'll tell you about later, which airs Thursday nights. And those shows are all put on our websites, our two websites, and they stay there forever until Jesus comes.
Amen.
So there they are. So there's a wealth of teaching and great music and everything on those shows. Just go and tap into that on our website, bohmglobal.com. You want to introduce our first song today, PJ?
It's called For Who You Are.
Woo. All right, here we go. Call a friend. Tell them to join it. Join you in listening to the show today. Plenty of time. It's a 2-hour show. God bless you as you listen.
Still small voice again, rolling, righteous, faithful till the end.
Praise God. I will worship you for who you are. And that's what we do today. Lord, we give you praise and glory and thanksgiving for who you are, mighty God. We worship you. We thank you for this opportunity to be on the air with our listeners, wherever they are scattered around this globe. Lord, let your word go forth in power and strength and might, and let your word be the comfort that some of our listeners might need. Let your word be the peace that they need. Let your word be the healing that they need. And Lord, just let them gain new wisdom and insight as we discuss your word today. Lord, we give you glory and praise for what you're going to do through this show in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. We're in the book of Ruth, Pastor Jim. We have been in a series called Finding Favor Forever. And Ruth herself certainly found favor after awful things had happened to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and to her. Just to recap a minute. Ruth was Naomi's daughter-in-law, and we find that in the beginning of Ruth in the Old Testament, it's only four chapters long, Ruth and her husband had left their hometown of Bethlehem in Israel, and they had gone to a foreign land because there was famine in Israel, and they'd gone to Moab. And as a result of that, they had awful things that happened, really. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and her two sons died after they had taken wives and had no children. And now we find that Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth have gone back to Israel, to Bethlehem. The other daughter-in-law did not go back. She stayed in her own country. And so the story centers around Ruth. Ruth's name in Hebrew means friend, companion, delightful, and beauty. And boy, she sure lived all of that in relation to her mother-in-law, Naomi, didn't she, Pastor Jim?
Yes, she did. And specifically, I mean, in the book of Ruth, it talks about her kindness. And it uses the Hebrew word hesed, which means steadfast love, covenant love. It was a covenant kind of kindness. She'd made an oath, a covenant with Naomi when she left Moab. I mean, you know, when she said, your people will be my people, your God will be my God.
Right.
She made a covenant, an oath at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that, you know, that word steadfast love, kindness,
yes,
hesed, can be used, because she was keeping that covenant.
She sure was, yeah. And it's so cool that she made that decision, because she had come to know the one true God. Mm-hmm. In her relationship with Naomi, and probably Naomi's husband, her father-in-law Elimelech, and her own husband, she'd learned the one true God. And so she made the decision to go back to Naomi's home with her, mm-hmm, and to not leave her. That famous verse, Ruth 1:16, where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God, that we as pastors use in a lot of weddings. Those famous words came from the mouth of Ruth. And she said that to her mother-in-law. So they go back, and we find that Ruth is allowed to gather some of the scraps, if you will, to glean some of the wheat that was being harvested. They landed back in Bethlehem, not by airplane. I don't mean that when I say the word landed. They happened to arrive right at the perfect time. So like God, Pastor Jim, it was God's opportune moment, his kairos moment, if you will.
Yes, it was.
For them to land there right at that time.
Right at the harvest, because they came back, it seems, pretty destitute. I mean, Ruth is out gleaning in the fields, and that's something that the poor people do.
Right, exactly.
And so it's a good thing that, you know, it's a good thing they came back right at the barley harvest, which happens, I did check, at the Feast of First Fruits.
Right.
The resurrection.
Yeah.
So, and in a sense.
So it's the spring of the year,
spring,
time of year.
It's early, mm-hmm, spring. It's right around, well, it's just after Passover is when they showed up, so. Which is really cool, because that, you know, we know first fruit signifies resurrection. And,
yes.
And in a sense,
this was their resurrection.
This was their resurrection.
It? Yeah.
Especially with Naomi.
Right.
You know, because here's Ruth going out and gleaning, and she just happens, to be gleaning in Boaz's field, and she has no idea who Boaz is.
Right.
And Naomi has no
idea. She lands at the right place at the right time. So like God.
And
go
Naomi
ahead.
Has no idea that Ruth is out in gleaning in Boaz's field.
Right.
And, you know, when Naomi came back, she said, "Don't call me pleasant, call me bitter. God's turned away from me. He's dealt me all these bitter blows." And then all of a sudden she realizes, you know, Ruth, she goes, "Where were you out gleaning today, daughter
right.
Ruth?" And Ruth says, "Well, the guy's name was Boaz." And all of a sudden, you know, Naomi.
Light bulb went off, right?
Well, Naomi has one of those glory fits. And, you know, I think if she was like, you know, Vestal Goodman, she would have pulled out her hanky and waved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
Because she said, you know, she said, "Wow, God has not forgotten, because
yes.
this man is our kinsman redeemer, a close relative who can redeem us." And that rekindled her belief.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, of course, she gave Ruth instructions, which to our eyes today look really bizarre. But that was what Ruth had to do.
Right. She had a plan.
That's what Ruth needed to do in order to make herself available and to remind Boaz, "You're our kinsman redeemer.
Right.
I want you to live up to your responsibility."
And we're going to talk more about what that means in a minute. But I want to piggyback on something you mentioned. I want to go back to it. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 20, is where Naomi declares that she's bitter. She's mm-hmm. changed her name, really. She said, "Call me Mara," which means bitter, because God has abandoned me. And she was, you know, and a lot of us out here, and we talked about this last week, so you can go back and check out the last 3 or 4 shows on this topic of finding favor forever, because a lot of times we get to a point in our life where we have become bitter, where we have become discouraged and defeated, and we feel like God has forgotten us. Don't you think, Pastor Jim, this is common with people? It's not just Naomi.
Oh, yeah. We get, you know, something happens, and death of a relative, a financial upset, something, loss of a property, something happens, sickness, disease. And the first person we blame is God.
Right.
You know, "Why did you let this happen to me?"
Mm-hmm.
Or even worse, "Why did you do this to me?"
Right.
You know.
Which is kind of Naomi's attitude was, "Why did you do this to mm-hmm. me?" Lose her husband and her 2 sons. Well, and one thing I find very interesting is that she declares that in Ruth 1:20, but by the second chapter of Ruth, Ruth 2:20, is when she now has an attitude adjustment, which we already talked about that last week. This is just a review. But the attitude adjustment was, oh, wow, when she realizes Ruth landed. I know I keep using that word, but what I mean by landed is that it wasn't planned in advance. God led her to the right place and the right field. And when Naomi realizes she has been out there harvesting the scraps, if you will, from the very field of their relative, Naomi suddenly has a light bulb go off and an attitude adjustment, and she realizes this is God. And I think so often, and that's in Ruth 2:20. So from Ruth 1:20 to Ruth 2:20, and then Naomi has this attitude adjustment. And I find so often in life, Pastor Jim, that people tend to be blind almost, or deaf, or both, to the timing of God and the significance of it in our lives when God moves. And we should be going, whoa, you know, one of those kind of aha moments, you know. Which Naomi did.
Which Naomi
she realized
oh,
it.
Oh, absolutely. She
yeah.
had that moment, because she said, "Whoa, you know, may God continue to bless Boaz." And she said, "God has not forgotten his kindness."
Right.
Again, that word has said, his covenant love for the living or the dead.
Right. And so it's a wake-up moment for Naomi, and she realizes. So Naomi evidently sits, and I would think she spent some time in prayer to God, because she is coming out of the old attitude. As we go into chapter 3 of Ruth, and there's only 4 chapters, we go into the chapter 3, And now Naomi has a plan, and she gets her daughter-in-law and sits her down and says, here's the plan. We talked about the plan last week on the show, so I don't want to go into all the detail of it, but just as a quick review, Naomi said to Ruth, you're going to have to approach Boaz. Obviously, Boaz is not aware that he is the redeemer for us. Okay, he doesn't realize it. Okay, and so Naomi gives Ruth the plan, and the plan is found in Ruth chapter 3, starting with verse 3. And the plan starts with take a bath. And we talked about that last week. And that is, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This plan for Ruth applies to us today. Okay? This whole story of Ruth applies to us today. Boaz is a type of Jesus himself. And so you're going to see that Ruth is a type of all of us, the church. Okay? And we have to take a bath. We have to ask God to forgive us our sins. And in 1 John 1:9, that verse that we just quoted is often called the Christian's bar of soap. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the first step. When you ask Jesus into your heart, you say, Lord, I realize I've not been the way I should be, or I've not been acting, or I haven't had the right thoughts, all of that. I want you to forgive me for all that. PJ, this is the first step, and such an important step, isn't it, that all of us humble ourselves and realize that we need to take a bath, you know, so to speak.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's a cleansing.
Yes.
And that's always has to be the first step. You can't do the second step, which in this case was anointing, without the cleansing.
Right.
Otherwise, when you do get cleansed, you're just going to wipe that anointing away.
Right. Right.
And why put on your clothes if you haven't had, why put on your best clothes if you haven't taken a bath?
It just applies to us today. It's fundamental, basic.
It's basic. It's step one.
Right.
I'm reminded of when Peter preached at Pentecost, and the Israelites said, What should we do?
Right.
You know, the scripture says they were pierced at the heart and cried out, what should we do? And Peter said, repent, be baptized, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
First step was repenting.
Right.
Admitting that you were wrong and making that 180-degree turn back to God.
Absolutely. So that's step one. Mm-hmm. And then Ruth is told by Naomi, go ahead and anoint yourself with oil. That so speaks of us really getting into the presence of God, you know, anointing ourselves with him. You know, the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit also. So that's so important. And like you said a minute ago, PJ, it's so true. If you're going out for a nice dinner, you don't go put on dirty clothes and not take a bath. You know, oh, let me find my dirtiest, smelliest stuff that's in the laundry basket and put that on.
Ew.
Ooh, yuck. We don't do that. We go take a shower and wash our hair and fix it and put on clean clothes and put on something that smells nice, whatever that is, perfume, whatever. And it's so important that we dress up or we look good. And that's very important here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Symbolic. Go ahead with that.
Well, because she was actually dressing... I think dressing as a bride.
Okay.
And symbolically, of course, Ruth is the bride, the church.
Yes, right.
And in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul wrote that Jesus will present to himself a spotless bride.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
That's us.
And that's us. So that's what, symbolically, that's what Ruth was doing right here. Was those steps that we need to take individually to become the bride that Jesus will come back for.
Oh, absolutely. And so we take time to dress in our best clothes. And our best clothes, frankly, is a robe of righteousness, because we are not righteous in our own, but Jesus made that robe of righteousness available to us. Righteousness means to be in right standing with God, okay? So when we take time to confess our sins, to get in his presence and to put on that robe of righteousness, it's not something that we can do without him. We have to take it from him. Jesus said, that he is our righteousness. He has become our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. 1 Corinthians, what is that? Jesus has been made unto me righteous. I don't want to get it wrong. I'm going to let you look it up real quick. It's like 120 or something like that, 1 Corinthians. He has been made unto us. Did you find it? Mm-hmm. Of course he did.
1 Corinthians 1:30.
Okay.
And because of God, because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
There you go. There's the redemption too, the redeemer part that we're going to talk about more. So Jesus has been made all of that. So Naomi said, get washed up, anoint yourself, put on your best clothes, and then go do something. And she was told to go to the threshing floor, and the threshing floor was the area where they were separating was it wheat or barley? You mentioned barley early.
Well, chaff.
Okay, the chaff.
The grain.
The grain.
The barley from the chaff.
And the chaff would be be representative of, all the junk that wasn't edible, right? Mm-hmm. So the threshing floor, do you want to talk about that just a little bit, PJ, of the times that this was written in about 1300, 1400 BC?
Yeah, the threshing floor would have been usually an elevated area very near the town, but something that obviously had to be open to the wind.
Right.
So it probably was elevated a little bit. Would have been broad because you wouldn't want the grain to go rolling in the dirt. And it was just a big stone floor is basically what it was. Big,
okay.
You put stones together and make this a big stone floor, and then you take the wheat and beat on it a little bit and toss it up in the air, and then the chaff would fly off, and the grain itself would fall back on the stone.
And it needed to have that wind, and that's symbolic. The Holy Spirit is also the wind.
The wind.
Right. So Naomi says to Ruth, go to the threshing floor. That's where you're going to find Boaz. And at the end, this is harvest time. So he's going to be working all day, and then he's going to party all night, right?
Okay, yeah.
Well, I mean, they really did have a big meal and all that,
yeah,
right?
I just had a flashback to the 70s.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he was going to rock and roll all night and party every day, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, the old Kiss song from,
right, exactly,
like 40 years ago, perhaps.
40 years ago. Okay, so here's Boaz, and he does this very thing. And he was the landowner. So the landowner would go and sleep on the threshing floor during harvest, right?
Of course, because this was still, as we know, during the time of the judges. That was a pretty lawless time. And I'm pretty sure they slept out there to make sure nobody, either Israelite or foreigner, carried off their wheat or their barley,
sure,
because, you know, this was their life.
Right.
It was this grain. So they had to protect it.
So that's what's going on. And so Naomi knew that's where Boaz would be. And so there he is. And she sends Ruth there. So Ruth obeys, and she goes in obedience and in faith. In about verse 5 of Ruth 3, and Ruth says, if you say so, I'll do it just as you've told me. I love that sentence. That's obedience, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When God tells us something, let's be obedient, dear ones. In order to really find favor forever, we've got to develop a life of obedience and humility and faith. And so Ruth just humbly said, sure, if this is what you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. I mean, we could talk about that concept for the whole show, the importance of obedience, couldn't we?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So she does it. And in the middle of the night, she goes and lays down at his feet, and Ruth is told by Naomi ahead of time to uncover Boaz's feet. He would have a blanket or a shawl on him to lay down there at his feet. And what a beautiful picture of us laying at the feet of Jesus in worship. Oh, you can't have a better picture than that. And there she is, laying there. In the middle of the night, he is startled, and he wakes up, and he says, who are you? This is probably the key verse right here. Who are you? Because it doesn't just apply to Ruth. It also applies to each of us. And so I mentioned this Friday night that on Facebook, everybody's always says, what's your status? Okay. And really, that was the question that's being asked here. What is your status? Who are you? Are you, what are you doing here? And what are you up to here? Who are you? And in other words, what relationship do you have to me? Boaz was asking Ruth. What are you doing here? Okay. God asks us that question right now. Who are you? What's your relationship to God? Do you have a relationship to God? What's your status? And it's not about whether or not you're married or single, but are you in covenant relationship with God or are you not? Pastor Jim, you want to comment on all that?
There's
so much.
Yes, there is.
So much,
you know,
there.
That sounds bizarre to us. This is the most bizarre thing. It's not so much that you took a bath, got perfumed up and put on a good dress, but then go lie down and
right
and cover and uncover his feet. What she did was to take his outer garment, his prayer shawl, the one with the tassels on
right.
it, and cover herself with that.
Right.
And she says in Ruth chapter 3, take me under your wings.
Right. Woo!
And that's, you know, we talked about that on Friday. There's so many verses, Psalm 91, Isaiah 43, Malachi chapter 4.
Right.
All of which talk about coming under God's wings.
Right.
And that's so important. And Nan had shown us a picture that she found.
Yes.
Of some sort of parrot. But the parrot had its wings outstretched and had the two babies underneath.
Oh, that's such a beautiful picture. And she talked about that today at the nursing home. And handed out those pictures. But go ahead.
And it's just such a perfect picture. And
yes.
What God wants to do is that same thing, to gather us under his wings. I mean, in Psalm 91, we're promised protection.
Yes.
Same thing in Isaiah 43 and in Malachi chapter 4, we're promised healing.
Yes.
That the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings.
Right.
And that word there is the same word that's used in the New Testament for the hem of his garment, when the lady with the issue of blood or the whole town came out to touch the hem of Jesus' garment.
Right.
That's what it's talking about, getting under his wings and getting healed.
Ooh, amen. Which, you know, and I mentioned this Friday night, but I just keep seeing this picture the last couple days since our Friday night gathering of Jesus hanging on the cross and his arms outstretched. Mm-hmm. And what does Isaiah 53 say? That it was, you know, by that, by his wounds and all of that, we are granted healing, you know, healing emotionally, physically. And there he is, stretched out on the cross with his arms stretched out so we can just come under that protection. And so this, her getting under that prayer shawl, oh, that is such a beautiful picture of God's love for us.
Right. And remember, this is still late at night. There may not have been any torches, but Boaz woke up and knew somebody was there.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Who's there?
What's your relationship
Who's
to me?
Basically, who are you? Why are you here?
Right.
And Ruth beautifully just reminds him, you're my kinsman redeemer.
Oh, yes.
I want you to fulfill that. And
it's a marriage proposal. She really proposed to Boaz
right.
here. Hey, you have the right to redeem, which we're going to talk more about that in a minute, but he had that right, but he just seemingly forgot it or neglected it or something.
Right. Well, sometimes, you know, he needed a little reminding.
Is that because men are just kind of slow on the pickup sometimes?
I guess. but he did apparently need reminding. Or maybe he was just waiting for her to ask, because his response was, you chose me over all the younger men.
Which says she had opportunities.
Right. Which...
probably.
You know, and I think maybe he was just waiting.
Right.
You know? But then there was that little fly in the ointment. Okay, I'll do it, but there's somebody closer than me.
Whoa. And we're going to talk about that. Yes. Oh, my. This stuff is so good. I love the way... I mean, you can't plan a book like this. This is something that actually happened, and probably Samuel or somebody like that probably transcribed this story, and it was included in the Old Testament because of its veracity, its truthfulness of events that happen, but also of the picture it paints of Jesus of the New Testament. And so, I mean, this just goes all through me. This book of Ruth is probably one of my favorite books in the whole Bible, because through this, we see the very nature of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Boaz is a type of Jesus. Ruth is a type of us and how we go and lay at his feet. And to me, there's nothing better than times of worship where we are laying at his feet. We don't necessarily have to be physically laying down, but emotionally, mentally, when we are submitting ourselves to him and we are saying, talk to me, Lord, speak to me. Heal through me, you know, speak life through me, whatever. I am here to be used of you, you know? Wow. Oh, brings us to this wonderful song. It has become one of my favorites, and I know y'all get sick and tired of hearing about all these favorites, but it's true. 10,000 Reasons. Is this the Matthew Redman
Matt Redman, mm-hmm.
Oh, my. 10,000 Reasons. Can you talk about that song a minute, PJ, before we play it?
Well, it's we've sung it at church,
yeah,
too, as a praise and worship song.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wonderful because it points you to the things that God has done for you. And you have 10,000 reasons, and eventually in the song, 10,000 years to praise him, and then
yes,
forevermore.
Yes.
You know, if we look with the eyes of faith, we'll always find a reason to be thankful.
Woo! Boy, that's a bell ringer, Nan. You might bring that bell in there. Want to say that one more time?
If we look with the eyes of faith, we'll always find something to be thankful for.
Amen. Amen. And conversely, if we look through the eyes of negativity and doubt and fear and all of our awful things going on in our lives, then
we'll always find a reason to be discouraged, despairing, and mad at God.
Exactly. So we have 10,000 reasons to praise him. Woo!
Amen.
Here we go, guys. Let's just get so blessed by this song. Get blessed with us. Woo! Glory to God.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song. Time has come, still my soul.
your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the
God, we worship your holy name, mighty God. You are amazing. We love you. You're awesome. Oh, God, we just worship you and thank you. We have so many reasons to praise you. Woo, God just gave Nan a poem. She's in the studio, even though she's actually not meant to be on the show today, but she's going to be on, and here she is. And thank you for coming anyway, and you're just open to what God's got for you, right?
No problem, yes. The poem that he gave was entitled Bless My Name. I love it when you worship unto me, you sing songs of praise unto my name. You will find that through your praise, you certainly won't remain the same. Bless my name despite what is going on. You will grow stronger in me when you do. It's a wonderful thing that occurs. Try it. Worship me. That's what you should do. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. You will feel so much peace within. So what will you do with this information of praising my name? Will you now begin?
Woo! That is really good. Would you hang on to that till the end of the show and let's read it again. Let's go to Titus, the book of Titus real quick before we go back to Ruth, because the Lord reminded me of this just a few minutes ago. And it goes right along with what we're talking about here in Ruth 3 today. And thank you for that poem. And that's just Holy Spirit inspired right here on the spot with her little laptop in there in the studio. And Titus chapter 3, starting with verse 4. Titus is a little book back in your New Testament right near Hebrews. Titus 3, 4. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Boy, those verses just hit me as we were listening to that song, 10,000 Reasons. When the kindness and love of God our Savior, and in the book of Ruth, the person that represents that is Boaz. And so when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, and he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Pastor Jim, you want to talk about that? I just love those verses in Titus chapter 3.
Me too.
Woo! 4-7.
Well, I love it because he talks about when the love of God appeared.
And right. And when did that happen?
When Jesus came to earth.
That's right.
You know, and it wasn't just an abstract concept.
No.
It was a person. It was.
Yes. God is love.
Because, Jesus came to show us God the Father. And he said he saved us not because of works. We cannot make ourselves good enough for God.
Mm-hmm.
We can try. People have tried. There's whole religions based on people trying to make themselves good enough for God, and we can't. I mean,
right.
Just stop it. You know, God just says, stop it. You can't right. do it. But because of his mercy, he chose to redeem us.
Right.
And it wasn't based on anything we had done. I mean, and that's prefigured back with Moses and the Israelites. Right. God said, I didn't choose you because you were a big nation or because you were better than anyone else. I chose you because I had set my love on you because of the covenant I made with your fathers.
That's right.
And it's the same thing here, you know. This covenant that we're under is based on all the covenants that came before it. The new covenant is based on every covenant that came before it. And praise God, it's not just for one people. It's for the
us.
World. It's for the entire world.
It's for the entire world, wherever but you might be today.
The concept is still the same. We can't work our way into God's presence. We can try. We can read our Bible. You could read your Bible 16 hours. Read your Bible and pray 16 hours a day. But if you don't believe, it's not going to do you any good.
That's exactly right.
You know, and he talks about the washing of the regeneration
right.
of the Holy Spirit. That's in Ephesians, washing of with the water of the word and the Holy Spirit. We need that washing. And I think
got to be in the word. We have to be.
Right. Well, and I think about what Jesus said in John 14 or 13 when he wanted to wash the disciples' feet.
Mm.
And Peter said, oh, no, you don't. I'm not going to let you do this. And Jesus said, if I don't do this, you don't have any part of me.
Right.
First of all, it's and that goes back to works. It's hard for some people to let Jesus do it.
It is.
To let Jesus, to believe that Jesus did it all. There's some really good songs out now. Lauren Daigle has a really, really good song out about basically, I can't believe you did this for me.
Wow.
And it's really cool because we don't want Jesus washing our feet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you're God. You're not supposed to be doing that. Let me wash your feet. And Jesus said, no, unless I do this, you don't have any part of me.
Right.
And you got to love Peter's response. Jesus is just washing his feet. And Peter says, give me a bath, Lord. You know, give me
not
a
just
bath.
My feet, not but all of me.
Just give me a bath.
In other words, he was surrendering entirely to what
Jesus,
God wanted.
But Jesus said,
yeah,
no, if you've already taken a bath, all I need to do is wash your feet. And that taking a bath, I believe, is talking about making your statement of faith and being baptized.
Right.
You've taken your bath, so to speak. And Jesus said, all you need to do to be clean is for me to wash your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's talking about the washing of the word.
Yes.
You know, we talked earlier, 1 John 1:9, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he does that by the word.
Amen.
I mean, think for our listeners, just think as you're going about your daily business. I mean, I know any of us that have a job in the world, we're going to pick up the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just no way to avoid it.
Sure.
Well, Jesus said, come back to the word.
Right.
Come back to the word. That'll just get that road dust, basically, because that's what it was. And if you're like me, I love having a good foot rub. And it's kind of that same thing. It's
right.
just, it's that cleansing,
yes.
that kind of relaxing at the end of the day sort
right.
of thing. But it's done by the word.
Right. Woo, good stuff. And I love this in Titus. That's just beautiful right there. It reminds us of God's kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes right along with Ruth. We're in Ruth 3. We haven't left there. We just went over on a side issue here. But Ruth 3, and so Ruth is laying at the feet of Boaz, and he wakes up startled, and he says, wait a minute, who are you? What relationship are you to me? And she says in Ruth chapter 3, about verse 9, she says, I'm Ruth, your maiden. Take me under your protection. You know, you're my close relative, and you have the right to marry me and be my redeemer. Okay? And this is, again, Boaz being a type of Jesus. He's our redeemer. He redeems us from everything mm-hmm. that we have gotten so dirty about all through our lives, all the junk in our lives, all the old attitudes, all the old problems and situations going on in our lives. We need to be redeemed from all of that. And so he responds so beautifully in verse 10 of Ruth 3. He says, God bless you, my dear daughter. What an expression of love. And when we come to God and Jesus in love and say, I love you, Lord, and I just want you to set me free from anything that's dragging me down and keeping me from becoming all that I can be in you. When we go to him with that kind of an attitude, woo, he responds so well to us, doesn't he, Pastor Jim?
Well, and yeah, and the word again, and I love how many times it shows up because I love the word, is chesed.
Yes.
Or, you know, you love for me to pronounce chesed.
Right, that's how you do it in Hebrew. Hebrew.
But he says, this chesed is greater than what you did at first, even.
Right.
Her first loving acts of loving kindness were with Naomi.
Right.
You know, Ruth's first act was to follow Naomi, swear to be with her.
Right.
And then she even goes further because Boaz says, you could have had your pick.
Yeah.
And you picked me.
Right.
And, you know.
But how true for our lives, Pastor Jim. We have our chance to have our pick of living in the world and doing our own thing and ignoring God, mm-hmm. and just being out there, just living for life and fun and partying and maybe addictions or whatever the case may be. We have had that opportunity. But those of us who say, wait a minute, that's not the life I want. I want to be devoted to my King and my God, mm-hmm. you know, Jesus Christ, the Savior of my soul. That's what I want to hang my hat on. That relationship is the most important to me. Woo!
Right, right. And that's what, yeah, and she could have picked, I would say, lesser things.
Right.
And yet she picked the pearl of great price, the treasure hidden in the field.
Ooh, yeah, you know, all of that.
She could have chosen lesser things.
Yes.
And yet somehow, she knew that Boaz was the one.
Right. And so she submits to him, laying at his feet. And he takes that with what it was. It was not just... just her being, you know,
forward.
It wasn't that at all.
Wasn't that at all. It was a reminder,
right?
And there was nothing unseemly about it,
right?
At all. She was just reminding him of his obligation,
right?
His duty.
Yeah.
And I'll be very bold here. Sometimes we have to not that God needs reminding, but I think it actually helps us more than God. When we remind God, okay, you promised
that's
this.
Right. Oh, no, that's so true.
You promised
this. Yes, yes.
And I think that actually helps us because God knows exactly what he promised.
Absolutely.
But sometimes we need to verbalize it. We need to remind.
We need to. That's nothing wrong with that. Going to God and saying, hey, Lord, you promised here. This is what you said.
To entreat God.
Exactly.
You know, to use a King James word.
King James word.
We need to entreat God.
Since you and Nan are both here and you love King James, that's okay for you to use that word.
Hey, there you go.
All right.
That's part of intercession.
Yeah.
It's pleading before the throne of God.
Absolutely. Reminding
for
God.
For someone or something.
Yes. Yes, of his promises. We're going to talk more about this in part two of the show, which is coming up in just a couple minutes. Nan, if you would you remind people about Go Yard and what that's all about? And that's our Thursday night show. And it's with me and Dr. Angel Falzoni, who's PhD and licensed mental health counselor. And you listen to it a lot. And that's why I think you'd be great to talk about this a minute.
I love it. It's great. It's like it can be an interactive counseling session.
People can call in.
And you touch on all kinds of topics across the spectrum of things that people deal with that are going on in their lives. You can learn a lot from it. You and Dr. Angel interact very, very well in your interaction. It's so anointed. That is an anointed show, too. And I just would encourage people to listen to it. If they can't catch it on Thursdays from 6:05 until 7 o'clock, they can always catch it on our website because they're posted up there every month at the end of the month. But I've learned a lot of things from I've called in. I've learned a lot of things from it, what you guys talk about. It's just really, really exciting hour. The hour just flies. You know?
It does. And it's a call-in show, and it's called Go Yard with Mama Mac, and that's my other name. And yeah, it's really a fun show. We just did two shows on worry. So that airs at 6:06 p.m. on Thursday nights at Eastern Standard Time. But then Starcom Media picks it up, and we love being on Starcom Media. It's played 3 or 4 times every weekend on Starcom Media. And so catch it someplace, wherever you do. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that same Google text number you can use for both this show and that show, 727-888-4171. The website for Go Yard is goyard2014.org. That's what it is. Do you two want to know what the title of this week's show is?
Yes, you wouldn't tell us the other night.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to tell it now?
Yeah,
no?
I'm going to right now.
I want to hear it. You want to hear it?
I want to hear it.
Do you have a funny bone?
Yes.
That's the question. That's the title of the show. Do you have a funny bone? Where is it?
I know where we're headed.
Do you?
I think so.
Do you have a funny bone? It's going to be a fun show, so please check it out. And if you miss it and get it later, then you can just catch that title. You won't forget that title.
That would be a hard one to forget.
Mm-hmm. The last two shows were Are You a Worrywart? So just kind of, there is a correlation here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we welcome you to use our prayer line, which we talked about earlier in the show, prayers@bohmglobal.com, and check out our life coaching and counseling show every Thursday night on this radio station, 6:06 p.m., Go Yard with Mama Mac and Dr. Angel. And also go to both of our websites. So for this show, the website is bohmglobal.com. For the Go Yard show, it is goyard2014.org. So make sure you realize there's a difference there in those websites. But the shows are housed on those websites by the end of each month. So that's where you'll find them. And in the meantime, if you want to listen to a show during the current month, go to this, tantalk1340.com. Go to podcasts and then go down to the name of the show, Living the Good Life or Go Yard. And you can listen to the shows during this month of September right now until the end of September. Then they'll go on our websites. So that's kind of how the whole thing works. And it's time for Station ID. And we got to do that every time because that's just part of it. Here we go.